WZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Days after the election, results are still undecided in some 20 House races that will determine control of Congress. Republicans already hold the majority in the Senate. ABC political director Rick Klein on the stakes.
I've been looking at the numbers. It looks very likely that the Republicans are going to retain control of the House. It also looks very likely that the degree of their control, the margin, is going to be about as tight, if not tighter, than it is now when they only have four votes to spare.
The Justice Department says it is charged three men linked to an Iranian plot to assassinate President-elect Trump, along with other Americans. California's governor declaring a state of emergency due to the explosive wildfire in Southern California this week, the mountain fire destroying more than 200 structures, most of them homes. An Indiana jury is deliberating for a second day in the Delphi double murder trial of Richard Allen. He's charged with killing two teens in 2017 while they were hiking. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced the state will receive a portion of the nearly $1.4 billion opioid settlement with the grocery chain Kroger. According to Attorney General Call, Wisconsin will receive nearly $21 million for opioid abatement with payments beginning next year. In total, the state is expected to receive nearly $800 million from various opioid-related settlements. As part of the settlement, Kroger also agreed that its pharmacies will need to monitor and report on suspicious activity with opioid prescriptions. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs has announced $550,000 of grant funding for nonprofit organizations across the state. According to WDVA officials, the organizations were chosen for their financial assistance programs, entrepreneurship training, and services offered for veterans. Among the organizations receiving funding are the Indian Head Community Action Agency in Rusk County, the Lost Creek Ranch in Pierce County, Trinity Equestrian Center in Eau Claire County, and the Ashland Area Development Corp in Ashland County. An Ashland woman is facing new charges after failing to return to law enforcement custody while exercising her work release privileges. According to court documents, 23-year-old Sage Paulus was convicted for possession of fentanyl with intent to deliver and was serving a 180-day sentence. On April 8th, she was given 3 hours to collect job applications from nearby businesses, but did not return to the jail and was later taken back into custody. She is facing an additional 6 months in prison after being charged with escaping criminal arrest. A Superior man has been arrested in connection to multiple attempted carjackings, one of which involved a young child. According to law enforcement authorities, 37-year-old Michael Thompson is accused of attacking the owner of a car in the Tower Avenue and North 28th Street area last week and trying to take their keys with their child in the car. Officials say two bystanders saw the incident and stepped in until police arrived. Thompson was treated for injuries he sustained during the incident and was taken to jail. He's due in court next week. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
UW Women's Volleyball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The UW Women's Volleyball team in Madison at the Fieldhouse against the Iowa Hawkeyes. The Badgers in third place in the Big Ten. College basketball, the Badgers men's team with a 79-67 win over Montana State. Head coach Greg Gard says the Badgers' next game is against the Appalachian State Mountaineers Sunday morning at 11.
Quick turnaround here for App State coming in on Sunday. Another good team. Different than what we've seen maybe for the last couple games, but a little bigger.
NBA, the Bucks with a 123-100 win over the Utah Jazz. Andre Jackson Jr. getting his first start, helping out on defense, Damian Lillard.
I thought he had a great game. Disruptor, energy, that's just the kind of player he is, and I think, you know, they felt his presence out there tonight.
The Bucks' Gary Trent Jr. only playing 8 minutes before dropping out in the first half.
Back spasms, yeah. I saw him running down the floor in the second quarter, and I turned and said, he's not running normal. I saw that.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A picture-perfect day today with sunny skies and above-average highs as we flirt with 50 degrees today and through the entire weekend. Winds are a touch feisty today, but they calm tonight. As the next system approaches, we'll see more and more clouds tomorrow with rain rolling in by the evening. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, currently 53 degrees.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
There are some words that only get used in association with a phrase or another word. Nobody ever uses the word tribulation. You talk about the trials and tribulations. Another one would be vim. Nobody uses vim unless you're talking about vim and vigor. I'm going to make that list of words that you never hear unless it's in that particular phrase.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently, one of the classes I was teaching, saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we continue looking for California guy Eric Hovde, and we'll hear from Mr. Global Matt Randolph, oil and gas expert. He's fantastic. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Child here on the Civic Media Radio Network on the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's taking the day off, a much-deserved day off on this Friday after Election Day. I'm pleased, though, to have with me as my usual guest co-host, Angela Lang, the Executive Director of Block, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. And you can join our conversation. We are going to do a more discussion about what the results of the elections mean. Just call 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Angela, how are you doing today?
Hanging in there. It's been a rough week, but glad to be here with you. And I think it'll be therapeutic conversation for a lot of us.
Well, we need to talk through this and get through this, and we will get through this.
Yeah.
We've all faced hard times in this country, and this is another one. I'm not going to say it's easy, though. I mean, like no. AOC said the other day, not going to sugarcoat this. We have to be prepared for what might be coming next. And to me, that means especially being prepared to wrap around our arms around those who may suffer the most, the fastest. And that's undocumented workers in this country and their families, trans folks in this country and their families. It's a dark period. We got to face that, and we got to, help each other out in the process, especially right now. Me, my wife, our friends, you know, we're all just trying to reach out for mutual support. I think mutual support is really important right now. Now, you head an organization. You have a lot of people on your staff, a lot of young people on your staff. They must have been devastated Tuesday night and Wednesday morning, as we all are. And what did you try to tell them? How did you try to comfort them?
I think I wanted to be honest with how I was feeling, kind of, providing that space and that example to feel vulnerable. One thing I love about Black folks is that we will always find ways to crack a joke here and there. There were some quite funny social media memes and whatnot. And I was like, I love this for us. We got to find some joy where we can. But also I was like, I'm here to talk if people need to process any feelings. I myself alternate between pure rage and numbness and disbelief. And also letting folks know that, like, there's a lot of debrief calls right now. There's a lot of organizers trying to pull folks together. And it's also okay to skip those calls for now. one thing I was talking about with some colleagues of mine is that in 2016, there was this huge effort and push to get involved and to do something. And, you know, groups like Indivisible had popped up and all the, there's this groundswell of energy of wanting to plug in and get involved. And I'm not seeing that as much right now. Not saying it's not going to happen, but I think a lot of my organizer colleagues are kind of taking a bit of a beat instead of just trying to lead through this chaos, taking a moment to actually process how we feel. And I'm grateful for that. And I think, you know, in the coming weeks, as people kind of wrap their heads around how they're feeling, that organizing will continue. I personally am filtering what calls I'm getting on, and I'm not getting on all of them because I want to just be a human and just feel my feelings for a second instead of being expected to lead right away. And that will happen, and there'll be a time for all of that. But I think it's also important for folks to know it's okay to just take a pause and to kind of soak in the moment and really love on community. I don't know how many folks I tried to reach out to, and I still have a list of folks to continue to reach out to and let them know that if there's any ways I and Block can be helpful and supportive, especially to our most marginalized folks, that we're there. And I think it's important for folks to hear and to know that people have community and they have folks that are able to support them and have their backs.
Yeah, I think that's where we are right now. I totally resist the impulse or the direction that we got to go get involved in the next campaign. We got to prepare for the state Supreme Court race in April. That's a killer for me. You know, I don't have an ounce of energy for that sucker right now. I will after the holidays, maybe, or maybe in a couple of weeks if I'm lucky. But right now, I think you're right. You know, you mentioned the word pause and community, and I want to just read this one paragraph from the essayist Terry Tempest Williams, who also uses the word pause and community here. Here's Terry Tempest Williams, tremendous essayist who used to write for me at the Progressive magazine. To feel the pain of now and not look away. To act not with the hope of moving forward, always forward, but to see the wisdom of stepping sideways as we create a different space, a more conscious space in the direction of pause, as you said, Angela, the direction of pause, where we can breathe and gather ourselves. So we can gather others around us and create a community of care. I just love that. Community of care.
It's exactly what we need.
Yeah. But on the other emotional side of community of care is another word you used, which is rage. And I'm just, and I felt, I'm feeling the rage too. I'm just wondering who you're directing that rage at.
Honestly, I am trying to make sure that folks aren't pointing the fingers at other marginalized folks. And I know that there's a lot that people want to blame. And my rage is, first of all, Donald Trump himself and his supporters and what he's allowed to activate. And just to know that this week there are text messages being sent to folks talking about join the plantation, or high school boys taunting girls, say, your body, my choice. That's where I'm directing my rage and my anger. And folks that supported him while also trying to hold a truth, and that there are going to be some marginalized folks that were misguided that voted for him. We know mis and disinformation is rampant and civics is not taught, so people don't always know where to direct their anger. And I know that there are going to be folks that have supported him that realized very, very quickly how it impacts them and that they are also a target. And I'm trying to make space that at some point those folks will need to also be embraced because they will also be a target despite voting for him. And at some point, and maybe it's not now because we're feeling our feelings, what does it look like to bring those folks back in? Who may see the light and may regret showing up and voting for him. If there's folks that have undocumented or trans folks in their family and they overlook that to vote for them and something happens, I think people would realize very quickly the grave mistake that they made and where is the space for them. And I'm not there yet to welcome them back, but I also think it's important for us not to say that's what you get or, you know, I hope you get deported, or I hope your family gets deported. I've seen some of that. We can't have that. And so I want us to direct all of our rage at who actually deserves it and not each other.
I've got a little list myself, Angela Lang. I agree with you on Trump. Rupert Murdoch's pretty high on my list, too.
Yeah.
Mitch McConnell is very high on my list. He could have rid us of Donald Trump by simply summoning the courage of his own convictions the night of the second impeachment vote and tell other Republicans, like he was leaning, to vote to impeach this guy so he wouldn't have been able to convict this guy of impeachment so he wouldn't have been able to run again. Biden, I have some anger toward Biden, too, I got to say, for not dropping out after the midterms and opening things up. And I got rage still at Merrick Garland for taking so long. There's some self-censorship for taking so very long to get off the pot here and go after Donald Trump for the crimes he obviously committed in front of everybody's eyes and God's eyes on January 6th. Mm-hmm. And if he had done that, maybe we would have been in a different space right now. But, you know, I have great admiration, I have to say, for Kamala Harris. I thought she ran a tremendous campaign. I know people are nitpicking at her and say she made this one mistake. Lord knows who doesn't make a mistake. But she, or another mistake, but she handled herself tremendously, had great temperament and grace and intelligence and calmness and preparedness and discipline, all the things that the current guy doesn't have. And I thought she did beautifully. And she was handed a very hard deck with a very short time lag. Mm-hmm. And worked her heart out and gave a great concession speech on top of it. So I don't blame her. I resist the temptation to be a Monday morning quarterback. And I find those discussions really kind of sterile and unproductive. We just got to figure out where to go from here. You can join this conversation at 855-752-4842 on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm speaking here with Angela Lang of Block. She is my guest co-host as often as possible when we're co-hosting or guest hosting this show for Maggie. And it's always great to have you on. Tell our listeners what Block is about, Angela.
Yeah, so Block is a year-round civic engagement organization that started after the 2016 election. We officially launched in November of 2017. So we're actually turning 7 in a few weeks, which is wild to think about. But for us,
congratulations.
Thank you. Wild to think about. It's been 7 years already. But we wanted to make sure we kind of disrupt some toxic organizing folks that kind of come in and parachute in and tell our communities what to do and then kind of leave. That doesn't really work. And so what does it look like to build an organization with folks from the community being trained in basic civics, having more meaningful conversations on doors, but also doing it on a year-round basis and not just showing up for an election. So while our team is taking some much needed time and rest, at some point, we're going to be back out on doors, engaging with folks and talking to people. And I can imagine one of the first things people want to talk about is how this election is making them feel. And it's important for us to continue to show up for the community no matter what.
Mm-hmm. And what were you and your team getting at the doors in the last few days leading up to the election?
There was a lot of excitement. There was a lot of enthusiasm. Did we encounter the occasional Trump supporter? Absolutely. But as the days went on, there were so many folks that had said, oh, I already early voted. And people were feeling very excited. And I think, you know, people were kind of fearful of what could happen. There was a mix of excitement and fear, I think, in the last few days. Mm-hmm.
And I was sharing in the excitement. I tried to banish the fear, and I wrote that there were, 10 reasons why Kamala Harris is going to win. Shows what I know. Anyway, we will be back shortly here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild here subbing in, and I'm joined by Angela Lang of Block, and we'll be right back, and we hope you'll call and tell us how you're feeling right now. We got to wrestle with our feelings and move ahead. 855
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/wiscway. Connect today. sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
Right? Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the new staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey, this is the Maggie Dawn Show. It's Matt Rothschild. I'm guest hosting for Maggie, who's off today. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You can join our conversation, 855-752-4842. My guest co-host, as usual, is Angela Lang from BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. And Angela, you were at a funeral today for a public official, which must have been hard. He was a friend of yours. I want to give you the opportunity to salute him.
Yeah, thank you for that. I met Jonathan Brostoff in either 2007, 2008, and I always kind of credit him with one of the first people to get me involved in politics. We met at UWM, connected through the ACLU and College Democrats, and I didn't really think of politics as something that little old me had access to or was for me. And we had connected and he followed up and Howard Dean was coming to speak on campus.
That takes you back.
Yeah, I'm dating myself a little bit here. But it was my first political rally or anything, of the sort. And, he was like, I have an extra ticket. And I felt so special and so honored. And I didn't know how these events go. Right. You know, and I remember shortly after that, too, he said, do you want to go party with the mayor? And I felt like this whole world was opening up. I had no idea it was Tom Barrett's reelection campaign. Right. I thought it was like a private party type of thing. And I think what's special about Jonathan is his ability to bring folks together no matter what and make you feel seen. He is everyone's biggest cheerleader. And when he found something he was passionate about, he almost obsessed over it because he had such a strong moral compass on justice and protecting those that were the most vulnerable or most marginalized. And he became a really good friend where he would send me pictures of his kids randomly, or we just crack jokes back and forth. And it's tragic to know that Milwaukee and Wisconsin lost a good man who was so selfless. And I think we're all wrestling with the fact of what does it look like? What could it have looked like if we were just kinder and nicer? And even when we disagreed, we wish we all could have shown up for him the way he showed up for us. And I think a lot of us are wrestling with that. And the whole Milwaukee is hurting, whether you knew him personally or not. All you have to do is just log on Facebook and social media and you see the tributes pouring out. And it was a beautiful, memorial. And it's just really hard to believe that this man so full of life and energy and love and compassion is no longer here. Mm-hmm. So we'll continue to honor his legacy and know that his work and his passion and dedication, we all have a responsibility to carry that forward and also protect his family, his wife, Diana, his kids, his parents, who have also embraced all of his friends and hosted us at the, at their homes. And I think now, especially given the heaviness of this week, we all have a reality check to continue to check in on each other and reach out. And I think we all have a different perspective of what showing up for our friends means right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's crucial. Jonathan Rostoff was a member of the State Assembly and Milwaukee City Council. He died by apparent suicide just a day or two before the election.
Day before, and, Monday. Yep.
Yeah, just crazy. And it flooded, the news flashed on Facebook for me and really took me aback. But we need to, and I didn't know him like you did, Angela. I only knew him in passing to say hi in the Capitol. But everything I, every encounter I had him had with him was very positive, and the tributes are extraordinary. So my heart goes out to his family as well. And, you know, a lot of people are suffering right now, and yeah, we need to recognize that. We need to recognize the mental health challenges that people have. The number to call on suicide prevention is 988. There's a good website, Prevent Suicide Wisconsin, that people can go to. But yeah, we need to wrap around our arms around each other right now. A lot of people have been struggling with mental health issues for a long time, and I gather Jonathan did as well. That's not uncommon. There is help out there, and yeah, we got to show up for each other. That's the main point. And I also think, you know, taking time for nature is very healthy right now. And if we could just play a famous poem by Wendell Berry about the peace, called "The Peace of Wild Things," which he wrote in the midst of the Vietnam War, I think it may give. This is him in his own voice. He's 90 years old right now, this Kentucky poet, Wendell Berry. This may give people a sense of quietness.
Peace of wild things.
Beauty.
When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free.
Well, that's the beautiful baritone of Wendell Berry, great Kentucky essayist, poet, short story writer, novelist, tremendous environmentalist and activist who's been arrested several times for civil disobedience and is an inspiration to generations of people. But that is a poem that I go to in bad times like this.
It's beautiful.
And it is beautiful, isn't it? His voice is beautiful, too. And he's still working it. He's still doing it. And it gives, you know, and I, for people, you know, this weekend, it really would do you a whole world of good just to turn off the cable TV and go into the woods or go into the parks in Milwaukee or Madison or Door County at Peninsula State Park or Wyalusing State Park or Devil's Lake State Park or any of the county parks and city parks that there are and enjoy nature and clear your head and try to regain a sense of composure for what comes next. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm co-hosting with Angela Lang here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your hometown radio, refreshed.
keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
After the election, the Wisconsin legislature doesn't look the same. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. All 99 assembly seats were up for grabs, and half of the state's 33 Senate seats also were up for contention. How did Wisconsin agriculture's voice end up? We'll find out next.
Now's the time to get right with Pivot Bio Nitrogen. The right source, at the right rate, at the right time, in the right place. Sounds good, right? And now is the right time to act. With zero payments, zero interest, and zero worry. Until December 1st, 2025, on the best source of nitrogen. Get right with Pivot Bio. For more information, visit PivotsProvenIt.com. That's PivotsProvenIt.com.
State Representative Travis Trannell from Southwest Wisconsin is one of those that kept his assembly seat. He chaired the Assembly Agriculture Committee last year. He says his Republican caucus has a slimmer majority this go-round and that not all agriculture leadership will be back at the state capitol.
We did lose some strong rural Wisconsin advocates, and that is that's a tough pill to swallow. We actually lost the chair of the Ag Committee in the Senate, Joan Ballwig. I had the pleasure of serving with her for a number of sessions in the Assembly before she moved on to the Senate. And so we lost some good members, but like I said, we retained some great members, Tim. And then we got some new members, too. Duke Tucker in Western Wisconsin is going to be coming into the Assembly, has an ag background and understands agriculture.
State Representative Travis Trannell, he said while on the campaign trail, he heard from farm constituents that want to see even more funds invested in the ag road improvement projects. And he also said many people still concerned about large-scale renewable energy projects in their neighborhood.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, innovation, that's BioVet.
And entries are already starting to come in for the U.S. Champion Cheese event, March 4th through the 6th in Green Bay. New this year are entry classes for sour cream, low-fat sour cream, and cultured dairy dips, kind of reflecting the industry's growth. They'll have a total of 117 distinct categories that will be judged. Again, the U.S. Champion Cheese Event, March 4th through the 6th at the Resch Expo Center in Green Bay. I'm Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A picture-perfect day today with sunny skies and above-average highs as we flirt with 50 degrees today and through the entire weekend. Winds are a touch feisty today, but they calm tonight. As the next system approaches, we'll see more and more clouds tomorrow with rain rolling in by the evening. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 51 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we explore the career of the great John Candy. And it's a bar band Friday night, so our friend and Max Inc. radio host Terry Barr drops by with new music and fun conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Phone number to call to join this conversation about how we're all coping with the disastrous results. Let's not mince words, the disastrous results nationally on Tuesday. The phone number to call here, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Angela Lang, the executive director of Block, is my co-guest host today as Maggie's on vacation. And we have with us also on the show for this next half hour is Sam Liebert, who was the Wisconsin State Director of All Voting is Local Wisconsin. Sam, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing today, Matt?
Oh, I'm having a tough time, too. It's in a very emotional time. It's just hard. You know, we all threw ourselves in this battle. We all knew what the stakes were. We tried to tell everybody what the stakes were, and yet we weren't able to prevail. I mean, that happens. You don't win all the time, but I thought Kamala Harris put up a great fight. I thought organizers put up a great fight, and we just came up short. I think, the right-wing propaganda worked, the Trump 9-year propaganda campaign worked. The fact that people's standard of living went down during the Biden administration was the inescapable fact. And people were hurting, and they wanted something else. But it's hard to take when those of us who've studied fascism understand what might be coming next, and that people are going to suffer. So that's what makes it so brutal. I've lost the only election I've gotten right recently, or in the last 3 decades, was Michael Dukakis. I knew he was going to lose, but other than that, I was on air on the local Madison TV affiliate when Trump won the first time, and what a kick in the teeth that was. Or when Walker, I was on TV again when Walker won during the recall, and that was a kick in the teeth. I don't got a lot of TV. So, but we keep going. Tell me, you used to work, Sam, for Sherrod Brown, and I know he went down in a very sad defeat. Tell me about him, and what's your reaction about his defeat?
Yeah, it's very personal to me. 2006, I was in college. I was the chair of my college Democrats chapter, actually part of how I knew Jonathan Brostoff. We were both chairs of CDA chapters in the UW system. Mm-hmm. And I actually worked for Russ Feingold's political action committee at the time, took off a semester, and a lot of us thought Russ was going to run in 08. And so as part of his PAC staff, my time was in-kinded to Sherrod Brown's Senate race in 2006. He was still a congressman at the time. And he was actually up against the current Republican governor now, Mike DeWine. And as most of us remember, 06 was a huge wave year for Democrats. And, to see Sherrod persevere time and time again, and, what was a battleground state, which turned into a red state, and it turned into a, I don't even call it a red state, it's a rigged state. To see someone like him who really was a champion, is a champion of, the working man and woman. And, I still have it here somewhere, his the pin that he wears, and he gave it to a lot of his staff. It's a canary in a cage to sort of harken back to those brave coal miners who would go down into the mines and, when the canary would drop dead, you knew there was a gas leak or there was something wrong. And I definitely think right now that canary is dead. Oof. And something doesn't smell right in America. And, it was tough. Looks like Bob Casey is gone. Tester is gone. A lot of these 2006 senators, they held out as long as they could. But it seems like this whatever's going on right now, it wasn't enough. In Wisconsin, Tammy, who's been a champion of democracy, it looks like she held on by a few thousand votes, but it looks like she's going back.
Yeah, that was a real bright light amid the darkness. And then we gained ground in the state legislature. And we're going to be talking with Representative Hong in the next half hour about what that all means and the hopefulness that that brings. But yeah, with the Senate gone, it looks like the House of Representatives gone and the U.S. Supreme Court gone and the White House gone. It's just like there are no checks. There are no balances. And we're just going to have to figure out how we regroup. But right now, it's more of a time for just taking a breath, taking a pause, as Angela said in the last little bit, and trying to help each other, you know, recover. Really, it's, we need some recovery time.
Yeah.
We absolutely do. And before we put ourselves into what's next, I can't deal with what's next because I'm still dealing with what happened. Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about your organization, Sam. All Voting is local, the Wisconsin chapter.
Yeah, absolutely. So All Voting is Local is a national organization. We are headquartered in D.C., but we're in eight states across the country, obviously Wisconsin being one of them. We're in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Florida, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. And really, our mission is to fight voter suppression and to advance pro-voter policies at the state and local level, with an emphasis ensuring that all Americans, particularly our brown, black, Native American, and other historically marginalized communities, have their voices heard, and that every vote is, every ballot is counted. And so sort of what's, you know, implied in our name, All Voting is Local, as we work with local election officials. So in Wisconsin, that's municipal clerks. I used to be one for about 5.5-6 years before joining All Voting Local. And our clerks in Wisconsin really have a lot of autonomy and independence in the way that they run their elections at the local level. You know, we see places like Milwaukee and Madison who really go above and beyond, offering options for voting right ballot drop boxes, lots of in-person absentee voting hours. And then we have communities like Brookfield or the entire county of Dodge, where we have sort of these bad faith actors like sheriffs and mayors who are trying to blur the lines and get in the lane of election administration to lower voter turnout because they think it'll perhaps help their party or their political candidate of choice. And so, you know, this no matter
by,
how
these, this was by not putting out drop boxes.
Not putting out drop boxes. You know, there was that very sort of infamous scene now where President Trump was in Dodge County and the sheriff there, Dale Schmidt, said, you know, proudly said, you know, you can be rest assured, Mr. President, that there's no drop boxes in Dodge County. And then what's great is the next day, six of the nine cities that are in Dodge County actually said, well, we actually are using drop boxes and they're accessible. And so to see clerks really sort of assert themselves, stand up for themselves, and push back on the disinformation and honestly the political pressure that was out there is incredibly heartening to see. And, you know, in a lot of cases too, threats of intimidation have increased against our clerks across the state and the country. And here in Wisconsin, especially, 95% or more of our clerks are also women. And so there's also a dark taint of sexism and misogyny baked into that intimidation as well. And so hopefully going into this new year, this new session, with hopefully more pro-democracy candidates in the legislature and working with the governor, we can finally get some bills passed to increase protections for our clerks. And also other things to streamline election administration that should seem pretty common sense on face value.
Sam, you mentioned misogyny. I want to throw this open both to you and Angela. What extent do you think misogyny and racism played their parts in the defeat of Kamala Harris?
Mm-hmm. I'll defer to Angela.
Honestly, I think it's a big part of it. And as a Black woman, it's hard not to be frustrated. And, you know, despite whatever criticisms people may have had about Kamala or her policies or her stances, you can't deny the fact that she was more qualified than Trump. Case in point, period. Right. This man got on stage and said, I had concepts of plans. Mm-hmm. He said they're eating dogs and cats, right? The most ridiculous things that we had heard. But yet it still wasn't good enough. Well, I don't like her laugh. Oh, she rubs me the wrong way. Just these excuses that people made, or people saying, oh, I don't think that other leaders would take her seriously as a woman in terms of foreign policy. Some of the people that were saying that, I'm like, when did you ever care about foreign policy, right? Like, these are things that I think people were trying to deflect on instead of not saying the actual thing. And it's frustrating. I think a lot of Black women in leadership feel very frustrated to know that yet again, there is this ceiling that we are not allowed to break at this point. And to know, again, despite some stances or any disagreements folks may have had, she was seen as one that just wasn't as qualified. And I think a bunch of folks can relate to that. And it's very disheartening. And it's hard to think about as a country that we have not broken that glass ceiling yet. And we thought that we were going to, and it came so close to. And so I think it's frustrating to know just how deep that the sexism and misogyny ran a part of this campaign, or this election, I should say.
Sam?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I agree with Angela. We, I've got three kids. Two of them are girls, beautiful brown girls. I thought this was the time, you know, to let them know they could be what they want to be, and to know that part of this country hates them because they're because they're a girl, because they're that brown skin, and you know, there's a lot of disappointment, a lot of heartbreak. We've been here before, and we are more prepared this time. The states are more prepared. Wisconsin's more prepared. You know, we don't have a trifecta government controlled by election deniers. I mean, I think J.B. Pritzker in Illinois pretty much, you know, yesterday or today said, hey, if you're coming for my people, you got to come through me. Mm-hmm. And there's also some Republicans of moral clarity that will also, I think, stand up to some of the things that could be coming our way, whether it's mass deportations or using the military or political structure against political enemies.
I hope you're right about that, Sam, but I hope the media doesn't cave. We already saw the Washington Post cave in the most cowardly way.
Yeah.
And then I'm listening to NPR yesterday, and they talk about the possibility that the military might be patrolling our streets or arresting people during demonstrations. And the NPR announcer said this would be an unusual use of the military. Not only unusual, but outrageous and fascistic use of the military. So it's, you know, if they're already using these ridiculous words to describe what's actually happening. I mean, you're not supposed to give in prematurely. That's right. That's chapter one of Timothy Snyder's book, you know, on tyranny. And then we see the Washington Post caving already. Then we see this NPR reporter caving into it. I mean, for me, it's not a good sign. But I appreciate the tenderness of this moment. And I think we should talk a little bit more maybe about that and how we get through it. When we come back here on The Maggie Dawn Show, you're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can call and join the conversation, 855-752-4842. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm the former editor and publisher of The Progressive Magazine. I'm joined by Angela Lang and Sam Liebert, and we'll pick up this conversation in just a minute.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show. If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
iZurvey or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZERVAY.com.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I'll come back from a concert with my kid or a dinner with my husband, and I'll think, man, it would be nice to find something to do that doesn't cost so gosh darn much. Today, I have a tip for something to fill your time and your heart, but not drain your wallet. Volunteering. Now hear me out. There's been a lot of research on this. It shows that volunteering can help you feel less stressed, less down, less worried. You can do it with your church or food bank. You can look for events that align with your interests. We love a Ren Fair and a beer festival over here. Volunteering can build social connections. It helps people feel less lonely, and that can keep you healthier and living longer. And when you volunteer, your brain releases all these great chemicals like serotonin or dopamine, things that just make you feel good. For more feel-good money tips, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey, Matt Rothschild with you this afternoon on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network all across the great state of Wisconsin. I'm joined by my guest co-host, Angela Lang, as usual. And it's great to have Angela Lang on block with us, and Sam Liebert, the state director of All Voting is Local for Wisconsin. We have a few callers, though, so I think we're going to take a couple callers and we'll all try to respond in our own ways. Who do we have first, Cardi?
We have Susan from McFarland. One second.
All right. So we'll be hearing from Susan from McFarland. I live just about 3 miles from McFarland. Hey, Susan, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Okay. Well, what's on my mind is I was struck this morning. I was listening to the Stephanie Miller Show, and Frangela were on this morning, and they just indicated how awful this election was because, for one thing, there were 10 abortion ballots, and they won in 7 states. So it was like women voted for themselves in these states to protect their health care. But women in other states did not vote to protect everyone. And it's a sad commentary in our society because she, as they mentioned, is that I am a privileged white woman, but I have really feel sad that people are not voting for other people's interests. And I think that's what happened in this election a lot, is that, you know, they put the blame game on. And she said, you know, they said black women show up, they ask us to show up, we do it over and over again, and then they blame black men or other people. But really, it's the white women who did not show up to vote, and that for Kamala Harris. And that, to me, is sad. And that was their opinion, and I kind of agree with that. So your thoughts?
Well, yeah, thank you, Susan from McFarland, and I live right near there. So, white women, again, this is the third time that white women have voted by more than 50% for Donald Trump. I mean, it's 53%, 52%, 53%. And, yeah, we need to work with white men and white women, those who are white, and try to bring our folks around, rather than saying, oh, my God, you know, a tiny percentage of black men this time around didn't go for Kamala Harris the way they went for Biden or Latino men surprisingly went for Trump, which is kind of surprising. But look, we got our own work to do. Anyway, that's how I look at it. I'm interested to hear what Angela or Sam has to say.
I agree
with you. Yeah, I made a status about this. I tweeted it as well because there's always the question, Angela, what about Black voters? Every single time. And I was short and to the point. I was like, one, it's not Black people's fault. Two, Milwaukee turned out, and I'm always going to be proud of Milwaukee. And three, let's talk to the white women. Because even when you look at the numbers, looking at the numbers right now, 21% of Black women or Black men specifically voted for Trump. 21% of Black men. While that number is way too high, in my personal opinion, that number is way lower than 53%. But yet, there's always the question to us. And I feel like that further allows, one, to deflect blame. And two, it allows white women specifically to avoid any type of responsibility if you just deflect blame onto another community of color. And I've said this time and time again, and I might have said it on the show at some point, is that Black women consistently show up for a democracy that doesn't show up for us. Mm-hmm. And I've said that long before Tuesday, and it rings, I think, even more true now than any other time that I said it.
You know, it's so true. You know, Black women vote for Democrats at a higher percentage than any other demographic group. Black men are the second group that votes the most for Democrats, and the third group is Jews. Those are the people who vote overwhelmingly for Democrats time and time again. Sam Liebert, what's your reaction to Susan's call or to this, you know, blaming, you know, Black men for not turning out as high percentage as they did last time?
I mean, I think I'll just speak as a Black man and not as, you know, whatever my title says below my name right now with my organization. But, you know, yeah, I mean, when the blame game starts happening, I feel like Black men, people of color, are always the first to get the finger pointed at them. And I would also point out that, you know, Black folks are not a monolith. We are human beings like anyone else, and there are different things that motivate us. And, you know, this was a weird election, right? I think for the first time since 1992, the white electorate actually grew. And so I think there's something to be said there. I mean, I think all of this is really intertwined to, you know, we're going to be a majority-minority nation very soon. And the election deniers and the racism and the MAGA movement is all part of sort of the last dying gasps of the white majority trying to rig the elections, rig the mechanisms that oversee elections and how power is distributed. Gerrymandering, for example, to maintain control as long as possible. And so I think those are the things that we need to focus on, and also protecting those institutions that keep us safe. Hmm.
Sam Liebert is the state director of All Voting is Local here in Wisconsin, and was my colleague in the Wisconsin Voting Rights Coalition for many years when I was at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Sam, thanks for being our guest today on the Maggie Dawn Show, and we'll be right back after the top of the hour with Representative Francesca Hong. So stay tuned.
Listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll take a look back at the weekend happenings and talk about Veterans Day 2024. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.